Blog Talk Radio. miracles when you move. Such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your phone is calling me now. And my Lord, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things. Cause you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, you never win. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind blowing right now, breaking up a stone, taking over like the Jericho, and my walls are crashing down. But right now, I know you're able, and my God, come through again. You can do all the worship and sing tonight. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can do all the things I say. Oh, you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. In the land of the living, I am weak.
You ever seen a wealthy person or a wealthy family or a jet owner, like, got a jet, I'm sorry, you know. You ever-
falling down, always be holy forever, my God and my Savior, my Redeemer. We bless you and we praise you, O God. We thank you for this day, allowing us to come in and worship, O God. We pray, O God, that you have mercy upon us, that you forgive us, that you keep us, O God, in our sound mind. Lord, that you give us, continue to give us the activities of our limbs. Father, we pray today that you would use us to release this word, record this word as we got to go out this evening and do a little work. And, oh, God, we don't want to rush, but, Lord, we want to put a word on here for those that would download later. Oh, Father, we ask you to bless the four corners of the earth, the north, the south, the east, and the west. Bless those, oh, God, that are coming on the line, those that are listening by way of Blog Talk Radio, however they're listening. We ask you to heal the lame, O God. Open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears. Cause the crippled to walk. O God, do what only you can do. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Bless the Lord today. Yes, today is a day that the Lord has made, and we are already rejoicing and we are glad. We are going to be teaching this morning about practicing the principles of God, practicing the principles of God. And we always say we know, all of us know the truth, that it's easy to practice the principles of the world. It is very easy to practice the principles of the world. They are ever before us. You know, the world pushed them in our face. So they're there before us, tempting us and urging us and egging us on to do the things of the world. But, you know, the Bible is there with all the principles of the Lord before us, and most people don't want to take it up and open it and study it. You know, they say, well, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Or, you know, I'm on a vacation and I don't have time for that. Now I got to enjoy my life and so on. But we ought to be studying these principles every single day so that we can live a life that's pleasing to God, that here and he comes when he returns, that we won't be left behind. Am I talking to anybody today? So let's go into 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go into 1 Timothy chapter 4. And let's start at verses 7. King James Version says, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and excuse and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Train yourself to live godly. Refuse profane and old wise fables, people telling stories, gossiping, you know, trying to put a spin on things to make it exciting. He said to refuse those things. Don't get caught up in those things. This is what Paul is saying to his protege, Timothy. He is giving Timothy the teaching that he needs to live godly. Hallelujah. You know, godly living don't just happen. It's like you just don't get big, strong muscles all of a sudden. You have to go to the gym sometimes 4 times a week, 5 times a week, sometimes 3 times, 2 times. Anyway, you have to go to the gym. And you just don't go in there and look at the exercise machines. You go in there and you have to activate them. You got to use them. You can't just talk to them and think they're going to work. You got to take them up and you got to start moving them around and doing different things to activate stimulate the muscles. You understand? So they would grow and expand. Here, he tells Timothy to reject those worthless myths told by elderly women and train yourself for godliness. For the training of the body is somewhat profitable, but godliness is profitable for everything, because it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. See, when we train ourselves in the things of God, not only do we have a good life on this side of the grave, but on the other side of the grave, we have an excellent life, eternal life. So we train ourselves for eternity. Verse 8 says, King James Version says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which to come. Training of the body, the Greek word used here, gymnasia, refers to physical exercise and or training. The related verb occurs in the preceding verse. Paul used the term here to describe training in godliness, in preparation for ministry and for combating the false teachers, in Hebrews 12:11. Verse 9 says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. NLT. King James Version says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Verse 10 says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He is the Savior of all men, especially of those, those that believe in Jesus Christ. He says, this practicing the principles are trustworthy. So we should be eager and excited to study and put the study into practice. Because James says faith without work is dead. Even though we said we are studying, yeah, we faithfully picking up the Bible every day, but we are not activating the things that we are studying, that we are seeing and hearing in our daily walk. See, this is how we practice. We labor. The Greek word here, kopio, refers to the missionary efforts to plant churches and strengthen believers, Acts 14:22, Colossians 1:29, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. We have this hope, a confident expectation of God's promise, not wishful thinking. This is what Paul is saying, when we practice, you see, he said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversations, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith and purity. Don't look down on other people. Okay, don't look down on other people because God has raised you up. Hallelujah. Be willing to comfort other believers and unbelievers alike. He says in verses 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says to Timothy, till he come, this means Paul is somewhere else preaching and teaching. But he's saying to Timothy, stay in the word. Stay in the word of God. Follow the instructions that I'm giving you. Keep practicing what I have taught you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We have an obligation to do this thing. Hope, a confidence expectation of God's promises, not wishful thinking. Paul says, you, in verse 12, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your charity, your purity. It is difficult to determine an approximate age for Timothy, since the Greek term used here does not denote specific range. However, the implication of the passage is that Timothy was younger than Paul, and most likely younger than most of the elders and the false teachers. Paul urges him not to allow others to make his age a point of criticism. His gifting validates his authority, not his age. An example of the believers, Paul was an example to all believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 1, Philippians chapter 3 and 17. And Timothy was also, Philippians chapter 2, 20 to 22, in word and in conduct, in love and faith. This list of virtues describes true godliness. If we don't have the word in us, and if we are not living the word, our conduct, and if we are not showing love and have faith in what we are saying and doing, and living pure, not an adulterous, promiscuous lifestyle, we're not practicing the principles. Public reading of scriptures was a regular feature in early Christian worship and a tradition in religious education, Acts 13 and verse 15. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul advised the believers to read his letters aloud for the benefit of the church community, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27. Exhortation, the Greek word used here, paraklesis, refers to encouragement that helps a person take the right course of action. In his letter to the Romans, Paul lists exhortation as a spiritual gift that benefits the church community, Romans 12 and 8. I can also refer to encouragement in the sense of comforting or lifting someone's spirit in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you that was granted to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be diligent in these things in order that your progress may be evidence to everyone. Fix your attention on yourself. Fix your attention on yourself and on your teaching. Continue in them. For by doing For by doing this, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. Paul is giving this young man good advice. He says to him, he got this information or got this gifting by the laying on of the elders, the leaders of the church. They laid hands on him and also spoke into young Timothy's life. It's just the use to symbolize the importation of power. Paul does not regard this as a special power. Rather, he recognized that God empowers and equips believers for ministry. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, God uses this act. God uses this act and others to do so. The council of the elders, other leaders approved Timothy commission. And the final verse here in this chapter 4 of First Timothy, you will save. Paul told Timothy to make sure, this is what he told him. He says, fix your attention on yourself and on your teaching. Continue in them, for by doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, Paul said, look, now don't be distracted by what other people say or what other people do. People are going to always want to distract you when you are focusing on becoming who God says you are. In the King James Version, he says, verse 16 of the fourth chapter, he says, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So it's important that we follow and follow the leading of the GPS. The Bible is the basic instructions before leaving earth. So it's all spiritual GPS. We can't say, I'm going to take up the word, but no, I'm not going to do what the word says. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. They pick out of the word what feels good or sounds good to them, and they say, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm, but over here, I know I still got to do the things that make me feel good. When the Bible said, don't do those things. Don't do those things, because the doing of those things will lead you to hell. You see, they will lead you to hell. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is destruction or death. So he says, you were saved. Said Timothy, proper response to his calling as a minister of the gospel is to preserve in the face of opposition, persevere. Let me read that again. Timothy's proper response to his calling as a minister of the gospel is to persevere in the face of opposition and difficult season by demonstrating proper conduct and teaching true doctrine. Timothy will confirm God's gift of salvation to him and other believers. This is so important for us. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. We're talking about practicing the principles. You know, and you know, as I always say, people want the product, but they don't want to. Principles. The principles of God mean that we have to do something as different. Do what thus says the Lord. Follow the instructions of the Lord. You know, folks say, well, no, I'm going up because I want the pastor, bishop to lay hands on me, the apostle, the whoever, the evangelist, teacher. I just want to get a new car. I just want to get a raise on my job. I've been at this job for so long, and I'm not making any more money. You know, they go in, they say, I'm going in today. I'm going to give my tithes today. I'm going to give my offerings, because I know if I pay my tithes today, if I give my offerings, that God will bless me with a raise on my job. All the rest of the time, they don't pay no tithes, don't keep it off or nothing. They don't care about going to church. But now the man leave them, the woman leave them. They don't go in. They want somebody to pray for them because they feel bad. They don't want somebody to pray for them. You know, but we have to go, why are we feeling good or feeling bad? Go in the house of the Lord. Don't forsake the assembling of the brethren. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to come together in unity. How good it is. Brothers to dwell together in unity. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know these scriptures. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Paul is telling you right now, you're a different person. You may look the same, but in reality, you are not the same. Because a lot of time we find ourselves still trying to act like the old person. And we tell people a lot of times, people testing our faith, testing who we are in Christ Jesus. And we say, look, you just don't want to do this. You just don't want me to, you don't really want to see who I really am. You know, we say foolish stuff like that, not realize that we are giving the enemy advance into our spiritual life by speaking a word like that over ourselves. Like, you don't want to try me, brother. Just so you don't want to try me because you will really see who I really am. Now you ought to be someone else, the new person you ought to be. But now you want to go back into that old place and put up an old man that's supposed to be dead, put up an old woman that's supposed to be dead, and then you're going to act like that person. You're not acting like the person that's supposed to give God glory. You see what I'm saying? And this is what Paul is saying. He said, now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things have become passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have the ministry of reconciliation. See, we got to practice this thing because God, he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, the ministry to lead other people that are lost, the lost sheep, back to the flock. They lost their way. So God said that we have this ministry in us and we have to practice it. Let them see the life that he has given to us, that we are living the life that they ought to be living, that they need to live. So we practice this thing. This is principles. We're not living the old man life anymore. We are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So we ought to be activating that part of us that has become new. Because there's still some parts of us that are still tainted, that still God is still working on because we're not completely perfect yet. So what we do is the part that has been changed, we show. Now what we show character. We show that we are a new creation. So now we got love. We got compassion. We are faithful. We show them that we are compassionate. We show them that, oh God, that we are willing to love on them in spite of how they still are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're still in the mud. Yeah, the pigs are still in the mud. We have just got out the mud and we're just starting to get washed off, starting to get clean up. So we have to show them, let them see the cleanness of us, that part that God has cleaned up already. And we have to show them. How do we show them? Not by just talking, by the way we treat them, the way we respond to them. We don't look down on them because they're not on the level that we're at. Because a lot of people, what happens as soon as they become a minister, they get a piece of paper that say that they are an apostle or they're a bishop or elder or whatever, they think that they arrive. And then they tell, well, I always had this. And some folk, I hear some folk, I know some folk that, well, I didn't need nobody to give me no license. I didn't need nobody to lay hands on me. I was already laid hands by God. But if you didn't need a license, if you didn't need a person to give you a license or lay hands on you, God would not have had the apostle lay hands on people all over the world, wherever they go. He wouldn't have laid hands on them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know how the devil puffed up people? They said, well, I didn't need no license from him. I didn't need no license from her. I know how to preach. God taught me all this stuff. Oh, God. Glory to God. But people say a lot of stuff over the side of the neck. But here he says, God gave us the ministry of reconciliation, okay, to go out and win souls. That's what you do. Win souls. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Say, God don't put the things back on us that we deserve. All that we done that's wrong, he don't charge us with it. Hallelujah. The Bible says he throw our sin in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east from the west. He remember them no more. So he does not impute this stuff onto us. He don't put them back on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he gave us the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is to say, God is not reckoning our past, but he now put us into the future where he is leading us. Now, then we are ambassadors or representatives of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, when you go down that water, you come up the righteousness of God in him through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. It's true that we can't win souls. Listen, no, excuse me. It is true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it. And we don't gain anything if we do. You know, they had a problem with in the church of Corinth. They was fussing over eating this and eating that. Even now, we still have the same problem. You have a lot of people say, well, you know, some people eat like pork chops. They love spear ribs. They love hamburgers. And other people say, well, I was in Barbados. And I was just, the lady just sent me a message, said that I installed a heater for my sister down there. You know, my sister, she's 88 years old. So, and I was somewhat my fault, because even though I explained to her the mechanism, the working of the heater, is computerized. And, you know, people 88 years old, most people 88 years old don't understand technology. They really don't. Then you have some people that are 88 years old, and they're sharp as a whip. You know? I know a lot of times she'd be messing with the telephone. And she'd be messing so much next year. Notice that the TV going off. She'd be messing with the TV, playing with the remote control. And it's gone. Everything going dead. And she got to call the girl that take care of this young lady. She's an Israelite. She called her. Come over, Maria. And Maria would pull with the thing. And then next she reprogrammed the computer. The TV again is working fine. But my sister would mess it up. So now she sent me a message, an email, and I was planning on heading back to Barbados in December, you know, and spending Christmas home, if the Lord allowed me to go. And so, I mean, I already have a heater here at the house, a new heater I was going to send for this lady. But I just realized, you know, you be working so fast, sometimes you don't see things. And I thought the heater was a 115. But I realized I just look at it just on a 2 here. And it's a 150, one's a 120, one's a 115. So I have to get her a new one. But here, the people would tell you, if you eat pork, you're not saved. You know? And Paul tell you here, it is true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat it, talking about pork and then kind of stuff that the people don't want to eat. They don't want you to eat seafoods like shrimp and all the kind of stuff and shrimp and crabs and stuff, anything that crawl on the bottom of the ocean. They don't want you to eat. They say that because they eat all the scruff off the earth, of the bottom of the sea. And Paul said you don't lose anything if you eat it, or you don't gain anything if you eat it. And see, it don't get you closer to God. The point is that we have to live the life according to the scriptures. It's not about what you eat or don't eat, but it's what you do that is obedient to God. If you follow the Ten Commandments and adhere to everyone, there's more than 10 commandments in the Bible, but the 10 that he set for Israel first. And then there's commandments from Genesis to Revelation, you know, because just don't say just them 10. There's a lot more. There's a lot more in the book that you got to follow. You know, you can sing and dance. I'll tell you about the rapture. If you don't obey the word of God, guess what happens? You're left behind, even though you've been preaching and teaching. Now, here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 23, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. We have to practice these things. That's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. You know, you have husband and wife that fuss and fight all day long. And I knew I was in the church back in Virginia when we had the elder, he didn't like me, but I ended up praying for him when he was back on the deathbed, dying from failing kidneys, you know, and his kidney was hurt real bad, and they told him he wasn't going to live. And my pastor said, well, man, I know you're a man that pray and you believe, you know, because pastor was a good preacher, teacher. But, you know, it's sad that you have a lot of good preachers, teachers that don't believe. You know, they preach the word, but they don't believe. I got one right here is a good teacher, good teacher, good preacher. And a lot of people call him to preach for them at their church. But he don't believe. His wife don't believe in healings for now. They believe healing was for 2,000 years ago. But don't believe. Hallelujah. Don't believe. I was praying for a young man that they're supposed to cut off his toe. He's supposed to go back in the hospital, cut off his toe. Sunday he was in church. I prayed for him a week before. Had a long talk with him. And I said, you trust God. If you trust God, trust God. And see what God do before the time that you got to go back to the hospital to cut your toe. And Sunday he took all the stuff off. They got him in the boot. And got his toe wrapped up. And he said, Apostle. He called me by. I said, Pastor, man, my toe is healing. He says, healing. They were turning the color, you know, like it was rotting. No, it's getting back life. So when he go back to the hospital, they're going to have to cut off his toe. Because he believed. I said, if you believe, God is able, you know. And Paul is saying, look, we have to practice. These are the principles that we got to practice. Now, this guy was telling you about, I prayed for him, that was going to die. And he lived many years after that. He was as small as like a 65-pound soaking wet. He was a big man in frame, but he had no meat on his body. And for the years that he lived several years, not 2 years, 3 years. I mean, at least eight or 10 years after I prayed for him. And God touched him right there in the hospital. He was laying there in the bed with eyes sunk back in the hole. He just looked like how you see them people like walking dead on TV. And, man, he come on. He didn't like me because he thought I come to church to take his job. He was an elder. I didn't come to take his job. I just come to do my part that God sent me to that church to do their part. And that when he was in the hospital, you know, I see him at church. I said, how you doing in the morning, elder? He would look at me and roll his eyes. Wouldn't even respond. I said, that's all right. I love you anyway. Come down bad on him. Pastor says, call me one day. Come on, I want to see you. So I come over to the house. He said, we going up to the hospital. I need to go with me and the elder. Deacons and elder, deaconess and stuff. We're going to the hospital. I need to go up there. We're going to pray for elder. I said, no problem. I went there and prayed for him. See, you got to practice these principles. Paul said, you got to have charity. Charity is love. You got to have compassion. You got to be willing to forgive people. You know, folk are so stuck on self and they think they're all that in a bag of chips and Pepsi Cola and ain't going nowhere. They're not going anywhere in the kingdom. I'm telling you for real, they're not going anywhere in the kingdom. They're making a lot of noise, but they're not going anywhere in the kingdom because they got a lot of malice in their heart. Oh, they can preach well. They can sing, they can dance, they can do all that stuff. They can do all the things that the people in the church building does. They know how to do that stuff. But when it comes to living for Christ, because it's not talking, it's living. You know, it's living. And they would say, you know, you don't threat to the kingdom, to my kingdom, because you can't even do what you're supposed to do in the kingdom that you're in, that you're supposed to in. You can't even do that. Why? You come up against your brother, against your sister all the time. Listen to what he says, man. This is so powerful. You got to teach your wife, teach your husband. We are one, but he's the head. Let him know that he's the head. And some preachers, They don't hold the rightful position is who they are. Who they are in the family. This in the family is all messed up. Family is jacked up from the floor up. No, because they don't know how to treat and live the principles. Here he said, let's go to another scripture. Let's get to Exodus chapter 20. The principles, that's 10 principles there, the whole talking about the commandments, but we're not going there. Let's go to Ephesians. We in Ephesians. When you get a chance, read the study the commandments. I got them right here. Study the commandments. He says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other God but me. God pricks. See, a lot of people, they're teaching and preaching, but they have other gods. You can't have no other God. He says, thou shalt not make any other grave, shall not make any graven image. See. There's a principle that we got to practice. We're talking about practicing the principles of God. And he says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I got a short synopsis of the Ten Commandments. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. See, that's the fourth. The fifth, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long in the land. The sixth, thou shalt not kill. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Seven, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not be a false witness. Thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor. Those are 10 principles. And we talk about practicing the principles of God. But, you know, we be in the church. I'm telling you the truth. Because we got to start with the church. A lot of people don't like to hear this. All he do is talk about the church. Well, don't wait till God bring it before you. We have to get right first. Hear what I'm saying? He said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be? What shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them obey not the gospel of God? So we got to practice the principles. We're not just studying the principles. We're not just reading the principles. We got to practice the principles so that others, that's what he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 to 16. We went all the way to the end. He says, you got to live this thing so when people see, they will know that you are of God. He said to Timothy, in a short synopsis, that's what he said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, don't deviate from the truth. Don't deviate from the doctrine. Sound doctrine makes sound people. He said, Timothy, you remember when they lay hands on you? They give you an impartation of the power. They lay this thing, lay hands on you, and you receive this impartation to teach and preach and to live. Not just teach and preach, but to live. We got to live the gospel. These are principles that we got to live by daily. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. King James Version, we're going back. King James NLT, Logos, we're going through the book. Mark chapter 8. Just running some couple of things by you today. And Mark chapter 8. Let's start at verse 34. Mark chapter 8. And we're talking about practicing the principles of God. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You got to do something. Principles is not stagnant. You have to do something. You say, you love somebody. But if you don't show them, you only saying you love somebody. I was on the phone last night. I was laying on the bed, and all of a sudden I had this thing, this premonition, you would call it, we say premonition, but I had this awakening in my spirit to call this lady in New Orleans. She lived in New Orleans. And I called her. So I said to her, did you get your engagement ring yet? Because she was dating this guy who seemed to love her and want to marry to her. And he said this before I went to Barbados. So they always got this ruckus going on. So I said, well, did you get your ring yet? I texted her. I said, did you get your engagement ring yet? And she texted me back, call me. So I called her through the internet, through the messenger. And we started talking. I heard a voice in the background and said, well, is your fiance there with you? She said, call me back on my phone, because he was hearing the computer. You know, the computer's talking, he can hear everything. But either way, we get there. She says, I hear her say, here's your ring. He's giving him back his ring. And we had this big conversation. I'm not going to tell her her name is. We had this big conversation on the phone. I said, let me tell you something. Let me just pray first. Because they arguing inside. I could hear them arguing. Apparently, he had a lot of girlfriends before. And one girlfriend, they're arguing about, he had this girl 27 years ago. They're no relationship now. 27 years ago, he had this woman. And they're fussing over this woman. Because they went out to eat or something, and he said, I used to go with her, the lady over there. And she know the lady, you know, maybe an old friend of hers, and she got bent out of shape with that. So I said, let me pray, because I don't want to give you nothing out of me. If I'm going to counsel you on this phone and you and him on the phone, I got to give you what God is saying. Well, by the time I get off the phone with them, they were making up, and she was giving back, taking back the ring. Matter of fact, because a lot of times we're not practicing the principle. She loved the Lord, sing, dance, and all that stuff in the church, reading books about God. But you got to practice this stuff. See, you got to take up the cross. You're going to face a lot of stuff daily. Every day you're going to be tested, tried, and tested. And put through the ringer, through the fire. If you call yourself a born-again believer, sound talking, fire baptizing, Holy Ghost filled. Jesus says you're going to have to deny yourself. See, that's a principle, hard principle, because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and we want to act how we want to act. But say, no, you got to put, Paul tells Timothy the same thing. He told Timothy, look, you got to focus on this doctrine. It's not about the people anymore. It's about you getting this thing inside your head, inside your heart, getting it down in your belly, that it will flow out of you. And you got to live it. A lot of people have a lot of word in their belly. Or they can get on there and talk about Hebrew, and they can talk about the Greek and all this stuff. You know what I'm saying, and you know some of the people. But when it comes to living the Hebrew or the Greek or the English or the Latin, they can't live it. They can't live it. They don't tell you that they're cussing you out, but in their spirit, they're cussing you out. They're cussing you out because their spirit is so contaminated, full of malice. And listen to what he says. Jesus says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, listen what he says, the same shall save it. See, you have to be willing to die for the gospel. You're not going to compromise the gospel. This is principle, man. This is living by the principles. You don't compromise. You don't deviate. You don't give in. You don't throw up. You stay on path. You stay on route. And sometimes you got to go through a whole lot of stuff. I'm going over to some lesbian's house tonight. I'm going to their house because they're in an apartment where one of my customers owned this big house, over a million dollar house. And the place is rented out. And I got to go there to disconnect a stove so that when the people deliver the stove, says deliver the stove tomorrow, they'll take the old stove with them. You know, there's three flights up. I don't pick that stuff up downstairs. Two men take it up. Two men pick it down. So I go over there and disconnect the old one and leave it there in the kitchen. And then tomorrow I go back over there and hook up the new one coming tomorrow. But I'm not looking down on them because they're lesbians. I'm going to do my job. I'm not going to disturb them. I'm going to do what I got to do and get out. They know who I am. So he said, look, for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. He said, for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Hallelujah. What would it profit a man? Or what can you give? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, we are trying to connect with so much stuff in this world because the things in this world makes us feel good. I'm telling you, it makes us feel good. I'm known. The more you get, the more you want. You're not satisfied. You're not even thankful for what you already have. God will bless you from your head down to your toe. But you're disturbed because you don't have this. God had to convict me years ago. I was living in Virginia. And I used to have to walk to go to Narcotics Anonymous NA meetings because I was required to do that. And sometimes I go over the ice rain, sleep, and I had to hold on to the fence, you know, the metal fence, so not fall down. And I would see all these folk driving by, and I used to talk about the white man this and the white man that. And the Lord let me see a man with no legs. I was at the bus stop waiting for the bus. When I get to the bus stop, they have this little canopy make that you can sit on side there. And the man right up just on time, he knew exactly what time was going to come, make me cry like a baby. He right up on one of them electric wheelchairs, battery powered. He had no legs. And the bus driver just pressed a button, and the ramp came down. He'd drive up his wheelchair up in the thing. He went to the special place where they got this big seatbelt that goes around him in the wheelchair. And Lord, remind me that I have legs. And he was telling me that I was ungrateful. God told me that. This is nobody told me. And I cried. I got the bus stop weeping. People looking at me like something was wrong. They said, but yes, something was wrong with me internal. Not physically, but spiritually. See, I was ungrateful. I had legs. I had shoes on my feet. I had a winter coat on. But I was complaining. The white man had this. The white man had that. I didn't have a car. See, you got to be grateful for what you have. You got a house. You got an apartment. You got some Kool-Aid, you got some sliced bread, you got some jelly, and you got some peanut butter. You got some sardines, you know, you got some stuff in your cabinets. You got some beans and all this stuff that you can cook. And if you look over your freezer, you pretty much got your freezer full. If you may have one of them extra freezers, floor freezers, you know, and you got them packed with all types of meat, deer meat and all kind of stuff you got in there. And you're still complaining, not satisfied, because you don't have the means in the bank. I got a message from Tina this just now, not too long ago. She's saying that they're talking about the Iraq people are saying that this money is supposed to happen this week or next week or something. I said, well, whatever God says so. She said, tell me now, make sure your voicemail is not filled. So when if I call and I don't get you, I can leave you the 800 number. I said, well, so praise God, because I can do a whole lot with it. But I said, but I'm not putting my mind on that. Say, whenever it come, it come. When God said it's the time, nobody can stop it. A lot of people are going to get hurt by it, and a lot of people are going to get blessed by it. Believe what I'm telling you, because I know I studied it out. A lot of people are going to get hurt by that release, and a lot of people are going to get blessed by that release. But it's coming. He said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I want you to see that. If we are not pleased, if we're not happy, if we're not honoring God now, there's a time coming. Time coming, it's coming. Jesus said it's coming. He said when he come in the glory of his Father and the angels. With the angels. He said, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm going to deny you then too. I don't know you. Listen what he said. Go to Galatians chapter 6. We just want to give you some principles before we get over here. You know nobody respond, but we're going to get. I told him this morning, I said, look, I just want to get on here, Lord. And put some on here because you bless me every day with life. In health, the pain that had my body wrecked, you took it away. I ain't had to get no injection, had to get no knee surgery, no back surgery. Hallelujah. No kidney surgery, no brain surgery. My God, and you took away everything that was pain in my body, Lord. So I have to get on here and do something. It says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, I believe. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, concerning thyself, lest thou also be tempted. See, no. If your brother is in some wrong, doing something wrong, you got to be careful. You got to do this thing to them in meekness. You got to have compassion. But at the same time, you got to have love. But at the same time, you have to watch yourself. Because a lot of times we find out that this young woman will come to you and start talking to you about she and her fiancé. She and her husband is having problems. The man come and say, well, he and his wife is going through this. You got to watch yourself if you're female. Because you might try to console him or console her, and next thing you know, you in sin. You fornicate, commit adultery, whatever. You are doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing. So Paul says, he said, be careful. Be careful. Lest thou also be tempted. He says, be careful. That's what he's saying. Consider thyself. Be careful. Lest thou also be tempted. He said, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is one of the hardest things for us as believers to do. We can get mad, upset, torn apart with each other. But to console, to bear each other's burden, we don't have time. Most of us don't have time to bear each other's burdens. Truth be told, these are principles that God are calling for, that asking for. He says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Some folks, they put themselves so much out, so high on pedestals. So high. May you, they ought to respect you as a man of God, as a woman of God. But don't put yourself so high. You just look, if you doubt me, just go on the web. Go on Twitter. Go on Instagram. Go on Periscope. Go on any of these sites. Facebook. And you see all these people talking about their divorce. Their divorcing. They were just pastoring. Preaching and teaching the gospel. Chest up high because they arrived. A lot of people falling down because they got the gift of gab. And now they're leaving their husband. Saying they can't stand them. The same one that they say I do to, now they say I don't. The same one they say I will to, now they're saying I won't. See, because they're not passing the principles. I was happy. I was blessing the Lord last night when I got off the phone with them people. Because, I mean, they were just cutting up. And I told him, look, you need to tone down, bring that down. Because the enemy is taking control. And control don't belong to him, it belongs to God. All power belongs to God. And if we proclaim that we are Christians, we got to act like Christians. And I told Phil, you saved, but he not saved. And God has put you in his life. Look, he left before. If you put him out before, 2 times and he come back. God put him in your life for a reason, for you to draw him in. But showing him compassion, showing him love. But we sometimes, as Christians, believers, don't have no love. Don't have any compassion. We can talk compassion. We can talk love, but we don't have it. He said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So how are we going to draw them? With love and kindness. What we must show them? Love and kindness. Why? Because we want them to see Christ in us. These are principles. You wonder why folk are not coming to the church? Because all we do is point at them. We don't show them the love of Christ. We don't tell them our testimony because we act like we never been through anything. You see, people will become comfortable with you, with us, when they realize that God has given us a testimony. We didn't say because we were just cutting cheese. We didn't say because we were in the
in the vow. We were in the vow, doing everything that was wrong. And God had to reach down and then pull us out. But we don't want to tell the testimony. So we get up, we got a three-piece suit on, we got a nice rigs on and nice dress on and nice shoes and everything. We look real good. We look clad. We look the part. But we don't want to tell the people that, yes, I was a homosexual, I was a lesbian, I was a drug dealer, drug seller, I was a drug user, I did all types of stuff, fornicated, adulterer. Oh, tell the people, let them know that you didn't get to your place because you were perfect. You got there because you're imperfect. And the one that's perfect draw you there. Then people will look and say, well, if God can do that for her, for him, I know he can do me. Because, you know, folk like to, they like to validate and like to balance out stuff. He like the pastor says, he looked at me and said, well, I ain't ever smoked no dope. All the time he was stealing the church money. So he tried to put me at the bottom of the pit, you know, because I said I was, on the inside is. I said I was, did crackhead. And he comes up, he said, Pastor, I can tell you, man, I ain't never smoked no crack before. I ain't never did no kind of drugs before. I said, well, God's glory to God. To God be all the glory for you, man. I said, but I wasn't perfect. I still ain't perfect. God stayed working on me. I was on the pastor's in the church. And then we get to find out we were renting a space in a church from another pastor, big church. And they had, like, upstairs church and downstairs sanctuary. Upstairs sanctuary, downstairs sanctuary. We rented a downstairs. We got put out the church because he wasn't paying the rental fees. He was stealing the money and sending the money to another country, to Brazil, to build his house, big house, fancy house in Brazil. You know, he wasn't smoking cocaine, but he was stealing church money. And they got to the point, you know, because darkness will run till light catches to it. You know that. You watch this day. This day is night, nice and bright. But guess what happened? It's going to catch up, night going to catch up to it. And then night going to be outside, going to be real dark. And it's going to go dark till light come up in the morning. You can't escape it. Can't escape it. And if you're living in sin, man, look, you're outside shacking up, and your woman is home, your wife or your man is home, and eventually something going to happen. God always let it, he allows it to happen. He don't do it, he allows it. You laying down with that other man while your husband is home, and next thing you know, you either come home with some venereal disease or you come home pregnant. You laying up with that other woman while your wife is at home, and guess what happened? You're going to come home either sick or she going to come knocking at your front door saying she's pregnant for you. It's got to expose. What if Jesus said, whatever is done in the dark will be exposed in the light. You can't escape it. This is principles. These are principles that must happen. You can't hide. He said, look. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in others. Listen, what God wants you to do. Do what you're called to do for God. Don't watch nobody else. Do what you're called to do. If you're called to preach, preach. If you're called to teach. Glorify God in your actions. Glorify God. God has given me much time to put this. God was saying, could I put the word on today and still get off this? I got to drive about nearly an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, depends on the traffic, to get where I got to go. And God says, I got to wait till these people get off from what they're doing. And the Lord said, you got time. You know, because the enemy has a way of saying, well, no, well, don't go on blog talk today. You got something to do. Well, you just get yourself together. You know, you always have, he going to always drop excuse in your spirit being for you not to go and do what God called. Go to Hebrews chapter, go to Romans chapter 1. Let's go there first. Romans chapter 1, then we go to Hebrews. Romans. Just going to put up one verse there, the Lord said, and then we're going to head on. Head on. One way. Paul says, Romans chapter 1 and 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or the Gentile. because that's what the Greek represents, the Gentiles. You can't be ashamed. These are principles, man. We can't be ashamed. I hear Minister Jones says, he says, man, I'll be ministering out to the parking lot to the truckers. Man, that's a great, that's powerful. Man, you got to have some boldness to be out there. Them truckers smoking dope, shooting pills and shooting all type of stuff. And you spreading that word out to them, man. That's something that's powerful. People don't even want to go out to the grocery store or by the doctor's office and say nothing. Man, I tell them doctors, they look at me like I'm crazy. You know, you can't touch my body till I pray. You ain't putting no needle in my hand till I pray. Because this is something that, you know, because they're putting stuff in, you know, that they got the, what it was, nanovirus and stuff, they call it. And all that stuff they're putting inside you, that can take 3 months, 3 years before it activates in your body. You got to pray first. Don't let them start putting up a hit. I'm giving you, you don't know what's in the flu shot. You say, I got to get a flu shot, let the flu come out. And still you get the flu. You get the flu shot, but you still get the flu. You get the COVID shot, still you get the COVID. And fighting to live. Man, don't let them put for stuff. I was sorry I got that COVID shot. And I stopped getting pain in my shoulder since then. Ever since then, that day, I stopped getting cold. Whatever they say it can take 3 years for that stuff to come and say you. I said, Lord, I'm over that stuff. And I ain't getting no more shots. No more shots. I told the Lord, no more shots. My family going to get shots. Let them go get shots. They're going to get a flu shot. Let them go get shots. I got plenty of herbs here for that stuff. And number one herb I got here is oregano. Oregano. That's a powerful herb. And then I got the liquid. And then I got the papaya herbs. You know, natural herbs. But you can't fight that stuff. My mama, we didn't never go and get all them shots that people talking about now. When I was a little boy, mama said, go over there and get some leaves off that tree. And she said, go pick them flowers over there. And don't forget the leaves off. And make sure you get the ones off the olive tree too, because I need some olives. And she got them olives, just crush them olives and get the oil out the olives. And then she take the leaves from the olive tree and put it in the pot and boil that stuff. And then she got some other stuff off the melon tree. No, we taking the melon. No. Now you got to go to Amazon to buy the capsules from the melon tree. We had that stuff growing in the backyard. My mama said, go pick the leaves off the melon. Put the melon and that stuff bitter. We ain't had no diabetes and all that stuff in the country. Because you get the melon, you drink that tea. You drink the melon tea, just put a little bit of lemon inside there with the bit of melon, and you put some honey, natural honey. You get the honey right off, go up in the cave light, and we go up in there. Oh, you see the big bunch of honey hanging off the rock. We just go cut off a big slab of honey, and squeeze that thing in the pot. Bees and everything inside there. Squeeze that stuff in the pot, and she take out a couple of scoop of that and put it inside the man. We didn't ever have to run to the doctor. And every time you see something, say you got to go down to the doctor. You got to get this. Got to get that. And they give you all this stuff here for the blood pressure. And not working. Not working. If you miss the day, one day don't take the blood pressure medicine, blood pressure, boom, shoot up. You get on the herbs. I got some stuff here called the glucose freeze max. 3 bottles for $100. And a bit of melon. You got diabetes, you use that stuff, it put diabetes at work. Put it at bay. Can't touch you. In less than 2 weeks, diabetes level out. You have it under control. But we don't study those things. We don't study those things. Some people say, well, no, I got to get my insulin. I got to shoot up this. And I told doctors, he said, well, Mr. Keller, your sugar a little high, but not high enough for me to put you on diabetes meds. I said, well, doc, you're not gonna, even if it was high, you're going to put me, because I ain't shooting no insulin inside of me. I trust God for that. He said, where? I said, well, I'm going where? He said, well, can you work on it and see what hell it does? Man, you come back. And I went back before him. He said, man, I'm so happy. That man gave me a high five. He said, and he's a new doctor to me. Because my old doctor died. He says, Mr. Calder, he says, man, his sugar level is perfect. He says, it's perfect where it should be. says, you a man of your word. I said, yeah, because I know what to do. I went and got just what I needed. See, if I was home, I could go in the backyard and I go in the trees. So right there, we got the papaya leaves and stuff. Right there, we got them. I can take the papaya leaves and I can get a papaya and I can take the seeds and just crush the seeds up and make a tea and drink that. Man, it'll mess up diabetes, mess up high blood pressure, all that stuff. I can go over there and get the bit of melon, but no, here I got to go to Amazon because they can get me the capsules. You know, I don't know if we're here to go get the bit of melon. They tell me that you can go to the Chinese store and get it from there. I don't know, but I get the powder. I get the capsules, and I get the glucose freeze max from Amazon. 3 bottles for $100, and then the bit of melon only costs like $18 to $20. You can't beat that for your health. Here in this book, let's hit here. We got hit Romans already. Yeah, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, and then we got one more scripture, and then we're gonna let you go and have a good day. Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible says, and verse 14. I must be did this before because I got it highlighted. He said, "Be strong, but strong be belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." See, there's something you can't give to the young believer. They're not ready. And even some of the folk that are, and I'm not talking about young in age, I'm talking about young in the body, coming to the house young. But you got some folk that in the house that's been there for 20, 30 years, and they're still on milk, while they should be on the strong meat of the word, should be deep into the word, understanding, discerning, and declaring the truth of God's word. They're still like babies, want milk. Paul says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, those that got understanding. Those that have been grown, that are grown in the faith, understanding, spending time in the word with God. And God is revealing himself to them. Strong meat believes it belongs to them." Folks say, "Well, why are you telling me all this stuff?" Because you're not ready. And that's why the folks say, "I don't understand why she's so deep, why he's so deep." He's breaking this thing down. Hallelujah. You got to spend time. You got to spend time in this word. And then you got to exercise it, just like I told you this morning. You don't get big muscles by just going to the gym and looking at the barbell and the dumbbells and looking at the trapeze machine, the lateral machine. You got to activate that machine. You got to start using them. I got two dumbbells here. I bought them on the internet. Two dumbbells. I look over there and say, "Man, I got good muscle there, though." But I say, "I can tighten up these muscles and make them tighter." They're getting dust because when you get old, you start to get some edge. You don't want to keep pulling on them weights and stuff. But I look over and see they got dust on them. You have to activate the word. You go to the gym, the same thing. You want to get your belly, get some abdominal muscles. You got to exercise, man. You got to do some apps. Go on the app machine, the app machine. You got to do this stuff to get the belly tight. It's not going to happen. You want this word to be working in your life. You got to activate the word. It's a principle. Just like a farmer. Farmer want to have a big harvest. Guess what he got to do? He got to plant, which is sowing, and he got to water. And he got to water. He don't just water one time. If he depends, just wait and depend on the rain to come down from heaven, the wind, the soil become parched. And if he don't put some water out there, the seed will die from the heat of the sun. So he got work that he got to do in order to get food to market. We want to have the word. We want to have word, but we don't want to study. We think, let me go down here. I want to hear what the bishop going to say today. I want to hear what the pastor going to say this week. Oh, last week was real good. I just hope that this week is the same. All of the stuff. One person and all the people in the church were taking notes. One person were taking notes. All the other people, they're sitting up. Can't wait for the service to end. to go watch the Patriots play the Saints play or the next team play. They can't wait to get home. Pastors, you say, if you got to go, go. If you got to go, go. Don't let me hold you up. 2 Timothy. I think that's what I told you. 2 Timothy. Last, very last scripture, tell you the truth. And we'll do a prayer of salvation, pray and get over here. And we'll be back tomorrow because we got some work. But we'll get off in time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, one verse in here. Let's find the verse we want to drop on you. This is what he said. Verse 16, he says, but shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Avoid those gossipers. Avoid those that are speaking stuff that do not add to your growth. I always say that if it doesn't increase you, it will decrease you. And I was telling somebody last night, I said, I don't have a whole lot of friends. I said, but I got a few people in ministry that I would call my brother or sister. Yeah, well, you said, Jenna, all the brothers and you know, they in Christ, they're your brothers and sisters. But you know, you got some that you say you could call your brother and sister. No matter what part of the world you are, you can say, that's my brother, that's my sister. I talked to Apostle Stuart from Barbados. Talked to him from Canada, from Africa. Why? Because I know that he is my brother. I know this for sure. It's not a make-believe stuff. It's not money. It's not food. It's not supermarket, grocery store. It is genuine gospel. Spiritual. It's not built on earthly stuff. Folk is your sister or brother if everything is going well. But if some turbulence get in the atmosphere, they're no longer your sister or brother. You understand? But when you have a real brother or sister, it's eternal. It's spiritual. Hallelujah. But Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you that you have blessed us, O God, to hear a word from heaven today. Lord, telling us that we have to get deeper into the spirit realms so that we can operate because of God. Father, we don't take this word that you gave us lightly, O God, because we know that all your words represent yea and amen. We ask you, Father God, even as we took the time to look over these scriptures and research what you wanted us to say. We ask, O God, that you touch those all over the world that would hear this word. And even the young men that you have allowed us to ordain in Africa that is doing so well. We have one pastor, one apostle that we ordained there. And he is having crusades with thousands upon thousands of people. I said, Lord, I said, wow, God, I thank you. This young man is doing great. And he is going all these places preaching because he have a desire to see people saved. And I said, Lord, I just thank you. You know, you see the fruit of your labor, even on the television, even on the come see the fruit of your labor. We ask, O God, that you touch those now under the sound of my voice would hear this recording, Lord God. God, draw them closer as you draw us closer to you. And the book says that, talking about salvation, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Say that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And the Bible says, Paul says in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He also said in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He makes it very clear. He said that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:5. The Bible says, Paul says again in Ephesians 2:8-9, that for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. He didn't say he was one of the ways, but Jesus said, and he stressed this very firmly. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus said it very clearly. And in Revelation 22:7b, he says that he's coming quickly. So he wants us people for his coming. This is what every preacher, every person, layman or laywoman must do. Get the people ready. Prepare just like John the Baptist. Get the people ready for the Savior, because he's coming back. Just like he said he was. He's coming back. The Bible, the angel said to the women at the tomb, why are you looking up in the air? Why are you looking in the air? And said to the brothers, the apostles too, also, said, why are you looking up in the air? Gazing up in the air like Jesus, the same manner he leaving, same manner he coming back. He's coming in the air just like he left and went in the air. He's coming back in the air with the angels for the song of the trumpet. We got to prepare the people. Because when he comes, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late for the people on the earth. It's going to be too late. Like we talked about, he's coming for his bride. You know, he's not coming for those that not saved. He's coming for the bride, the one that saved and sanctified, the one who gave their life to him. He's not coming for a sinful world. He's coming for the world that gave their life to him. That's where Jesus is coming from. People say, well, he's coming for the world. No, he's not coming for the world. We got to lead the world now. We got to teach them, preach them, and show them Jesus. So that when he comes, it's not going to be time to say, well, you know, you got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late if you think you can wait till then to say it. Every Sunday morning, if you look today, and you got the people coming there, if you do the prayer of salvation, you say, but everybody's saved. No. Some people may be backsliding. They're on the verge of backsliding. They're doing slow. Backsliding is not a sudden dash. It's a slow slide. And folk could be backsliding in the church, even though they come, and they sing, they dance, and they open their Bible and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They could be backsliding. We still got to open the door to the church and people give the people a chance to rededicate their lives. And they might say, you know, that's me. I've been so involved with the television and involved with the computer and involved with watching movies on the TV and the computer that I don't take a chance to even study my word. And I find that my thoughts are going so deep into other things. But guess what? You're on the verge of backsliding. Time with the master. It's just like you have your wife. You don't spend no time sitting. Don't have no fellowship with her. You only talk on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Thursday night. What are we going to teach today or something? But you don't spend no time, you know, socializing with her. You in one room, she in another room. What happened is your marriage is getting soft. You don't realize it's getting soft because you're not spending no time to keep the marriage. The marriage got to be built up. You got to be continue building on, working on it. That means you don't have to be in the bed sexing all the time like a rabbit. No. Just sit on and just talk, baby. I just want to rap. I just want to talk with you. Let's chat. How was your day? How's your body feeling? How you feeling today? You know, especially, you know, she had a little cold. How you feeling? You know, you respond to everything because you've seen. You got to be observant in your relationship, just like you're observant in your relationship with God. Can you tell how far away you're drifting? Can you tell that you're drifting away from him? You don't have time to relate to God. You're a great preacher, you're a great teacher, but you don't have time to relate to him because you think you know it all. I get up in the morning sometimes, something like this morning, I jump up and I say, Lord, I had to do something. And I said, you know what? I didn't pray on my back. So as I get up, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I apologize because I pray on my back. I start on my back first before I hit the floor. You know, all them little things you gotta check yourself. Where do you begin your worship? Where do you begin your praise in the morning? And then sometimes you say, well, I gotta go get my coffee, go brush my face, wash my face, brush my teeth. But you ain't even give thanks to God. You ain't even praise him that you still got the activities of your limbs. You even thank him that you still can hear or you still can see. You even thank him that you still got life. And all them people died last night, but you still living. You start to, Lord, I don't understand. I've been praying for this thing, and I ain't get this yet. All you're doing is complaining about what you don't have. Can't even give him thanks and praise, glory and honor for what you have. Thanking him for my son the other day. Just thanking him. I thank him for him all the time because I only got one son. And I was thanking him for him. He said sent me a picture. He said, Dad, I just bought a new car. I said, well, and I was glad because he talking about buying a motorcycle and straight there talking, I thinking about seeing him wrapped up, you know, all the stuff going around because how the young people, they want to test and see how fast the motorcycle can go, just like a car. They already want to see how fast the car can go. Next thing you know, they're in trouble on the highway fighting for their life. And God has kept that young man. We are praying for him. He got in an accident one time. They had to cut him out the car. The car flipped over. When they got him out the car, so somebody looked out and saw the car flipped up across from their home and called a fire truck. And when they come and cut him out, as soon as he got up, they got him out the car burst into flame. They said, you got to keep your, because you don't know. That might save their life. Well, he would want to buy a motorcycle. I was so bent out of shape, man. I said, look, I told his mother, I said, look, if he buy a motorcycle or something, don't even call me. Because I'm not connected with that. You don't need a motorcycle. I just bought him a new truck. Bought him a 4x4 pickup truck. All the money that I make, I spend on that truck. You know, it's not brand new, but it's brand new to him. You know, but it looks like it's brand new. I mean, the truck is sharp. I said, you don't need a motorcycle. But in the car, something happened with the truck. Mechanically. Because when he bought the truck, but didn't have a dent, no rust or anything, had a bad transmission. One gear in the transmission was bad or something. So then I had to buy a new transmission for him. So rebuild, bought the whole kit to rebuild the transmission. And the guy that he had didn't do something wrong, so, right? So one thing lead to another, so I had to go back in the shop. But he bought a car. And he got the truck for in the snow. Because the car that he bought is not going to drive too well in the wintertime. I know that car. So, but he would have a 4x4 truck that would get him and his wife and his daughter back and forth to work and school. But we're thanking God and praising God for you all today. I'm talking to you because, you know, I tell you a lot of stuff because you always have to stay ahead of the enemy. Stay ahead of him. Especially with your family. As a preacher, as a teacher, the enemy is very smart. He wants to take you out, take me out, take us out. That's his job. But if you don't know Jesus today, and if you feel like you have backslidden, man, take the opportunity today to invite Christ into life, into your life. Rededicate your life. You can't lose. You can't lose. When you invite Christ in your life, you cannot lose. It's the best thing I've ever done all of my living. Almost 74 years old and all of my life, it's the best thing I've ever done. It's when I give my life to Jesus Christ. When I invite him into my life. He called me and I accept the call. Yes, he called me out of darkness into his light, and I accept the call. It was the best thing that I've done. My life has never been the same. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we released a lot of scriptures already. You can take the opportunity right now, right where you are. Just repent. According to Acts 2:38, repent for your sin and invite Jesus in your heart. The Bible says he's at the door knocking. If you would open the door, he would come in
to you, sup with you, and you with him. You got to invite him. He's not going to come beyond your will. You have the will to call him. You have the will to deny him. We read the scripture that if you deny him, he'll deny you. So you just call upon him right now in faith. In faith, believing that he's able to do for you what he said he would do. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I know from what I heard that you're the only one that can save me. For the word declared that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, Jesus, I will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth in thee, in you, will not be ashamed. I believe that you were crucified on a hill called Calvary or Golgotha, the skull. I believe that you died on that cross for my sins, Jesus. That you were buried in a borrowed tomb. And that the Father God raised you up on the third day out of that. Lord, you died so that I might live. Today I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system. Jesus, I'm coming to you with great expectations that you would wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness as I confess my sins, Lord. According to 1 John 1:9, it says, if I confess my sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. Jesus, I come just as I am, broken, empty, needing to be fixed and to be filled, to be made whole again. So, Lord Jesus, I invite you to enter my heart right now and take control of my life. Lead me and guide me into all truth. I receive you now, Jesus. And I receive the free gift of salvation that comes from you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. If you just said that prayer, today is the 14th day of September. You have just become a believer in Christ Jesus. A lot more need to be done. We recommend that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ and apostles. You will get an understanding of them to yourself. And when you decide to study the Bible, which you should be doing every single day, invite the Holy Spirit. He will come. He will come in the Spirit as he is a Spirit. And he would expound the scriptures to you so you can understand. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name. Mainly somebody that's living the life. And tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized. You're probably not going to get baptized. And if it's a real preacher that nobody knows, he's not going to baptize you right away. He's going to put you in a baptismal class so you get an understanding of what baptism is all about. We usually take you to a teaching a couple of weeks or so, teaching you about baptism, and then you would set a day. They would set a day to baptize you, most likely a Sunday evening, you know, Sunday morning, weekend, or whatever. Some people do it on Saturday. Some do it on Sunday evenings after the morning service, they'll do the baptism. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Because this is the greatest time of your life for you to be born again, having a new birthday. Invite them because you want witnesses. You're telling the world that you no longer living your life on your own term, but you're going to be living life on God's term, following his principles. And then when you go down that what we call a liquid grave, you're going in there, and you're going in there leaving all of the things that held you in bondage, that kept you away from knowing God or wanted to be close to God. You're leaving in that water we call the grave. But when you come up, you're coming up now in the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Now find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, my friend. Get yourself involved in ministry. But look for a church that's preaching the true sound doctrine, not church that's all this thing about name it and claim it and this stuff, you know, false prophecies and stuff. You want to be in a place that teaching the truth, that when you open your Bible, you can see, follow the pastor, because he's teaching and preaching the gospel. You know, he's not just trying to get your flesh excited, because that's what a lot of preachers do. They get one verse, and they put their own jest on it. And, you know, they work it. They work that one verse, you know, because they want you to say, well, he's a great preacher. You lay and say, my preacher preached real well. He preached real good. Now, well, what did he preach about? I can't tell because he talks so much stuff. But you want to be in a place where they're teaching the gospel. The pastor might expound a little bit, but he's going through the scripture. He's taking a chapter so, and he's working it for you, get an understanding. And maybe he may do come from different books, 6, 7, 8, 10 different books, and he is breaking it down to the understanding that God has given him to, so you can understand and you can grow. That's the church you want to be in. I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation, and for those that were receiving, those that rededicate their life. Now you can get back on the path and stay on the path. My God, I'm so thankful that you came in today and that you heard the word of God, wherever country, wherever nation you are, wherever city you are in, and that you can go right in there now and say, Lord, I'm back home. I'm so thankful, like the prodigal son, your prodigal daughter, you're back home, and your daddy just wrapped his arms around you, and I know that he blessed you. You can feel his presence around you. He's so grateful. He's happy that you're back home. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for you all today. And the line is open. Anyone want to respond? If not, we're going to pray and close out. We just thank God for you all. We want you, Lord, know that we appreciate you. We thank you for being here with us today and every day that you get a chance to come on. God bless you. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for blessing us to hear, blessing us to speak. Blessing us to see, blessing us to walk, blessing us to do everything that you have given us strength to do, Lord. We just thank you. We ask you, O God, now as we leave this land, but never your presence, to continue to bless us, continue to, oh my God, to watch over us and keep us, O God. We pray that you keep us, O God, safe as the apple of your eye, O God. And Father, we will continue to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, oh God. We pray for the finances that are coming, oh God. We know that they're coming, oh God. And we're going to bless people. We're going to give them as you allow us to receive. We're going to give to them, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Now, as we leave this land, but never your presence, we ask you to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, and bless us when we go. We ask you, O God, to continue to make us the head and not the tail, to set us above and not beneath, to make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. We are praying now, O God, for these funds that come at you, Sister Tina, to come and help us, O God, to bless those that are less fortunate than us, O God. And Father, now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today into somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It may stop someone from committing suicide, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home. and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Just mean that Jesus wants all the characteristics of him, his attributes, to be seen in our lives, that people would know that we are his sons and daughters and glorify the Father in heaven. Remember, as we leave this line, remember to pray for Deacon Fraser, pray for his father, pray for his family, that God would strengthen them, would strengthen him. Oh, God, and give him the know-how to trust God in whatever the case may be, however it turns out to be, that he would trust God and know that God is able, and even if it don't come true in the way that he expects, that his father would be safe in God's arm. We pray that, and he would have the strength to continue while he's here in this earth realm. We pray, God, blessings upon him, upon his family, and upon all that is going on. Even right now, we pray that God would touch the Apostle Stewart, Apostle Joyce Stewart, Evangelist Brown, Pastor Brown, Apostle Millie, Apostle Washington, Bishop Washington, and all those that used to be part of this church line. We thank God for Pastor Vic that put me to over the church to run the church in Boston. And we thank God she'll be in this Sunday. And I just pick up some utensils to serve Holy Communion. You know, we just got the new stuff came to the house. And we are grateful of what God is doing, that he is adding to the church. And we're just excited, you know, to be part of God, the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We bless God for you all. Keep us in prayer. Pray my strength in the Lord as I pray your strength in the Lord. Pray my protection in the Lord as I pray your protection in the Lord. Because we're living in dangerous, perilous times. God bless you all and God keep you until we meet again. Tomorrow morning we'll be back here doing the same thing. In Jesus' name, God bless. Bye-bye.